I heard a new joke this week, and I'm dying to tell it. Is that all right if I start with a joke? If it's not a very good joke, you can blame Lloyd McDonald because he told it to me. Wayne's going, no. So there was a man with no arms, and he really wanted to serve his church. And he thought, if nothing else, I can ring the bell. So he walked up the bell tower, and he pushed his face up against the bell, and he pushed the bell. It rang. What he wasn't anticipating was the weight of the bell. And so the bell came back and hit him, threw him out the window, and he died. And so someone comes walking down by the church, and he says, who is this guy? And the person he's with says, I don't know, but his face rings a bell. It's not over. So then his brother, feeling bad for him, because all his brother ever wanted to do was serve the church, said, well, in the wake of his death, I will be the bell ringer. And so he pulls the rope to the bell, and the rope breaks. And he flies out the window, and he also dies. And another couple of guys walk by, and the one says, well, who's this one? And he says, I don't know, but he's a dead ringer for his brother. Wah, wah, wah. It was funnier in a room full of pastors, okay? All right, now we can continue. Now that I got that off my chest. Been dying to tell that all week. All right, so today we conclude our series, Fan or Follower. And if you're joining us for the first time, or maybe you've just forgotten, we've been going through, kind of loosely basing the messages off of a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And we started out with having a DTR moment with Jesus, defining the relationship. What kind of relationship do we have with Jesus? Is it one of a follower where we are obedient to him, unto even the hard things, unto even death, if that's what he calls us to? Or are we simply fans? Are we simply enthusiastic admirers? We like what Jesus is about, we like what he does, but it's a lot safer from a distance. And it's okay to talk about him, but following him, that's just a whole other story. Are we content simply cheering Jesus on from the sidelines, living life the way we want, and then asking Jesus' help and involvement only when circumstances interfere with this life that we've created? Or are we followers, allowing Jesus to truly lead in our lives? Are we open to the interference, to the trouble, to the cross-bearing that come with being a real disciple of Christ? Have we truly counted the cost and decided that it's worth losing our life now so that we might gain life in eternity? If we're all to be honest, I don't think anybody here, if asked, would you rather be a fan or a follower, would pick fan. I think all of us desire to follow Jesus. I think it's something innate in us. That's how God created us. He created us for fellowship with him. And so given the choice, fan or follower, I think at least most of us would choose follower. But we also like to define the relationship. We like our relationship with Jesus to be on our terms. God, I'm willing to go with you, but only this far. Once it starts getting too uncomfortable, I got to pull back a little bit. I can't go all the way, and that's just going to have to be okay. You're going to have to accept it on my terms. Well, we've talked about this, haven't we? When we come to Jesus and want a relationship with him based on our terms, it's rejected, it's refused, because he's already laid out the terms. Think about it like this. If when I first met my wife, I walked up to her and I just laid it out like I wanted it, would I be married to her today? If I said, well, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone to cook and clean and keep my things in order while I watch sports, do things outside, and drive things fast. Think she'd be okay with that? And then if I continued, and then later in life when we decide to have children, I want you to cook and clean and take care of the kids until they're old enough to watch sports, do things outside, and drive things fast. I'm telling you right now, she wouldn't be here with me. And yet that's the kind of stuff that we do to Jesus. That's the kind of stuff that we do to God. We bring our agenda and say, I want a relationship with you, but here's some things that I'm not willing to give up. Here's some things that I'm just going to have to bring with me. And then here's a list of things that I'm just not going to do. I'm not going to do this stuff but I still want the relationship with you. That kind of relationship is refused. That's not the terms that Jesus laid out. That's not the terms that God's relationship with us is based on. We don't get to define the terms in our relationship with Jesus. He does. He did. And it's very simple, and yet it's very, very difficult. We have to take up our cross. We have to lose our life. We have to love our enemies. We have to turn the other cheek, take care of the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Because when we do these things, our love is exemplified. Our love then becomes more than lip service. It becomes action. It becomes our way of life, which are the terms that Jesus laid out. If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That takes more than talking, doesn't it? That takes more than saying, I love Jesus. That takes more than showing up at church on Sunday morning. It takes allowing him to rule and reign in our lives, to inspire change, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to learn along the way. That's the point. That's the point of this whole series. That's the point of the difference between a fan and a follower. A follower's relationship with Jesus is exemplified by a willingness to submit, to follow, and to obey. And it exists because Jesus is God and deserves love, deserves honor and respect for what he's done and what he continues to do in the lives of those who truly love him. And a fan's relationship is exemplified by a casual experience with him from time to time, with no real concern given for his will. And it exists because the fan wants all the benefits and none of the responsibility. In other words, a follower of God wants God. A fan wants God's stuff. You ever had a friend like that? When I was in first grade, I got a Nintendo for Christmas. Nintendo, the first one, it was like this big. And you had to blow in the games to make them work. And I had Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and Donkey Kong. And by March, okay, I got this for Christmas. By March, the word was out. Everybody knew that the Garcias had Nintendo. And there was a kid that lived down the street, and I'm sorry, his name was Steel, but it was Steel Smith, okay? It wasn't you. I don't know if you were alive when I was in first grade. Probably not. And this kid didn't like us, and he didn't hide that truth. But once he found out we had Nintendo, he practically lived at our house. And he was nice enough because if he was mean, Mom made him leave. If you're going to be here, you have to be nice. But my brothers and I knew that he wasn't there for us. He was there for Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and Donkey Kong. And so our friendship never really was a friendship. See, he wasn't there to spend time with us. He wasn't there to be with us. He was there for our stuff. Is that a friendship? Is that a relationship? So when we're in it for God's stuff, we're not really his friends, are we? When we just want his stuff and we don't want him, we're not really his friends. In the Gospel of John, John records that Jesus says this, "You are my friends when you do what I command. You are my friends when you do what I command." So when we ignore God's commands and simply live the way that benefits me and my well-being, what makes me comfortable, what I'm willing to do, the lines that I draw, when we do that, we live life on our terms, we ignore the commands of God, we're not his friends. And we fall into that becoming another goat in the herd that's bound for destruction. It's not very fun to think about. But it's the truth written in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be a line drawn. There will be a separation. There will be a judgment. And those that are friends will be saved. And those that are not friends will be thrown into the lake of fire. It's written. It's prophesied. It will happen. The day will come. In one of the verses we used a few weeks ago in Luke 9, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is a very hard verse because it's uncomfortable. Man, God, that other preacher I heard said, if I say yes to you, I'll get a new car. My bank account will never go into the red. That's not what I hear here. You're saying I'm going to have hard times and trouble. But even in this verse, even in this hard verse, there's so much hope. Because the first two words of this verse are, if anyone. If anyone. God is welcoming you with open arms to enter into a real relationship with Him, and He's not excluding anyone. You are welcome to have a relationship with me. So whether you are the worst sinner to walk the face of the earth or the nicest person ever born, you stand on equal ground with an invitation to follow Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Him. It's only by God's grace that we're invited, and it's only through His grace that we're taught each day how to follow better. Chris talked about the Holy Spirit last week. The Holy Spirit plays a big part in the process. You've heard me compare a relationship with Jesus to a journey, to a pilgrimage. I wish I could take credit for that, but I'm not that clever. A lot of people a long time ago that are much smarter than me made this comparison, and it fits so well. Think about it. We're on a journey, and we learn as we go. Have you ever been on a journey? Have you ever gotten in the car and just drove somewhere for a really long time, like several days? Don't you learn things along the way? Oh, I didn't know that was there. Oh, I didn't know this is where that was. You learn things. And then you have really great days of travel where you cover a lot of ground. And then you have other days where you feel like you're barely getting anywhere. There's sunny days and there's rainy days. There's days where you feel lost and you can't find your way back onto the path. And then there are other days that you're so in tune with your destination that you can navigate by feeling alone. The journey is all about the destination. And in the case of our walk with God, the destination is a right relationship with Him. It's a relationship with Him based on His terms, not ours. It's a relationship with Him that brings real transformation, not acting. Changes us from the inside out. We become new creations, as Amber pointed out this morning. Brand new. We're given a purpose. Our gifts are identified. And we have service in the kingdom of God. We play a part in the plan for redemption for the world. All because we said yes to Him. Rome wasn't built in a day. And neither will our relationship with God be. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and say, "Yep, yesterday I wasn't ready to do anything, but today I'm ready to die for you." It doesn't happen like that. It's a process. The first day I met my wife, I wasn't ready to marry her. The first day you met your wives and husbands, you weren't ready to marry them. The relationship had to start somewhere and evolve. You had to get to know each other. You had to fall in love. You had to get to that point where you were willing to lose your life for that person. So what is the destination? What does it look like in terms of our walk with God? What does a right relationship with God look like? In Matthew 13, I think that we get a glimpse. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like what happens when someone finds a treasure hidden in a field and buries it again. A person like that is happy and goes and sells everything in order to buy that field." And then later in Matthew 19, he adds, "Jesus replied, 'If anyone wants to be perfect, go sell everything you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven that will come, and then come and be my follower.'" So what does a right relationship with Jesus look like? It's priceless. Nothing that you have on this earth, now or ever will have, compares to the great value that a right relationship with Jesus has. What does it look like? It looks like the dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house that we talked about a few weeks ago, where the prostitute doesn't care about what people think about her. She has no business being at that dinner, and she walks right in. And then she takes the only thing that she has of value, that perfume that hangs around her neck, the only thing in her entire life that has any worth at all, and she uses it all on Jesus. Because nothing she has in this world compares to a right relationship with Jesus. And then it looks like Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who in the beginning of his relationship with Jesus went to him at night because he was afraid of what it would cost him. And by the end, when Jesus is crucified on the cross, he doesn't care what people think. He's using his fortune, he's using his influence to make sure that Jesus gets a burial fit for a king. Probably cost him his job, probably cost him his influence in the community. I'm sure none of the people that he hung out with before had anything to do with him after that. But you know what? None of that compared to what a right relationship with Jesus was worth. What does it look like? It looks like when Jesus was willing to put himself on that cross for you and me. He took the sins of the world upon himself. He didn't deserve the punishment. We did. But he took that upon his own shoulders and took it to the cross for us. Not out of obligation, but out of love. That's what a right relationship looks like. Unconditional, absolute, pure love. Nothing else compares. Nothing that you have in this world or ever will have holds a candle to the worth of your relationship with Jesus. Jesus says in John, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus died for those who are willing to lose their lives for him. He died to save his friends. He died for his followers, those who aren't in it for his stuff, but who are in it for him, who want to know him, who want to be with him. So how do we apply this series, Fan or Follower? What's the so what moment? What do we take and put into our lives and use out of this? Well, I decided I would just put it all in a nutshell for you. No matter where you are in your relationship or non-relationship with Jesus, he desires you. He wants you right where you sit. Whether you've followed him your entire life or you've never said yes to him, right where you sit, he wants you. So know that. He wants you to know him better, love him deeper, and follow him more obediently. It doesn't really matter whether you're just getting started or you've been walking with him for your entire life. He wants you. So today, May 25th, 2014, begin your followership with Jesus. Stop being a fan. Begin following him. Sit with him. Listen to him. Know him. Love him. Learn his ways, his will, and his purpose for your life. And then do it. Do it with faith. Do it with fervor. Do it with passion. Do it knowing that you're probably going to fall, but you can get back up because Jesus is right there with you. God won't accept a relationship with him based on our terms. But why would we want that? God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, holy, mighty, and complete. So maybe, just maybe, it's time we try it his way. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning that you don't accept anything on our terms because you've laid it out perfectly. You created us in your image. And because we live in a fallen world, we don't hold up to that image very well anymore. But through a right relationship with you and the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we can come to resemble that once again. Lord, you've given us each gifts. You've given us each abilities. You've given us the breath in our lungs and our hands and feet to serve your kingdom, to bring glory to your name, to love others, and through that love for others, exemplify our love for you. So, Lord, I pray that we don't stop at being a fan, but that we move into that follower kind of life, where we're willing to lose things for you, whether it be time or money or resources or sometimes maybe our lives. Lord, I pray that nothing becomes more valuable to us than a right relationship with you. And as we journey on this walk with you, this with God life, Lord, I pray that we acknowledge your hand. And that when we find our way off the path, Lord, that we hear your still small voice calling us back. It's all about the destination, Lord, and that destination is eternity with you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.